My courage is never the absence of my fear, it is my actions in spite of my fear. My doing it causes me to become more confident, less fearful, and emotionally stronger. Yes, I can, Joel, and yes, I will do everything I need to do, regardless of how I may feel about doing it. I refuse to quit. I refuse to quit until my commitment is fulfilled. What do those words relate to you as a professional, as a senior partner, as a father of three beautiful little angels, as a husband, as a provider, and as a leader of our company, and as a senior partner? Your comments, Joel Bunch.
Oh, I had part of this conversation with some friends of mine last night. And the first thing that comes to mind is your goals are bigger than your fears, bigger than the challenges you're in. My friend is a nurse, and she's taking a course. She's on maternity leave right now. She's got three kids, same as myself and Bethany. Our kids are 1 year older than I, well, not 1 year older, but just a bit older. She's finishing up her maternity and doing a thesis. And she was talking about how each night she goes home and she goes, I don't know where to get this extra information from. It feels overwhelming because she has like 7 weeks to finish this thing. It's absolutely crazy. And talking about how sometimes she feels like she's going to have a panic attack because there's just so much jammed into such a short period of time. And her husband was, you know, talking about how he was so impressed with her, how she keeps, you know, looking after the family and then goes in to her office to study and does it. And my friend, there were six of us there. My friend, who's a nurse as well, but doesn't have the same mentality, said, I don't understand why you do that. It makes no sense to me why you would do something that would cause you such stress. And it was that exact same, it's exactly what we're talking about right now, when her goals are greater than her fears. Her goals are greater than the stress that she goes through. She has that dogged determination to accomplish something. She wants it so badly that she's willing to continue on even though it's not easy. And so many people in our life have the mentality of, well, why wouldn't she just, you know, and I saw this in a couple of different conversations this week. It's like it all just happened this last week. I saw multiple people talk about, well, why would you do it if it makes you feel uncomfortable? Why not just do something easy? Just don't work as many hours. Don't do this type of job. Don't do this. Because that's the mentality our kids are growing up with these days of, if it's hard, it's not worth it, because heaven forbid you put yourself in a mental anguish, or heaven forbid you put yourself through stress or tough job or insert whatever the challenge is. But that's where the, you know, people who fought in the trenches didn't look at it and say, oh, it's too hard, there's bullets coming back at me. They looked at it and said, this is too great a cause to not charge them your ridge. That's the difference. Great people push on even through challenges. People who are weak quit at the first sign of adversity. It just depends. What do you want? Do you want to accomplish your goals, or do you want to be the weak person who never does? Back to you.
Thank you. Well said, and I know it comes from the heart, because that's a very profound concept that we're talking about, is that why should I? And the answer is because that's what you are, and if you don't, you never forgive yourself. You're always disappointed. As the great Maxwell Maltz, psychiatrist who wrote the book Psycho-Cybernetics, so brilliantly said, most people don't like what they see in the mirror, and they walk around all day trying to feel good about themselves, and they can't, because they don't stretch out. They don't try, and if they do, they give up so easily. That is why our role in leadership, and this is a leadership call, is to not only lead by example, to help ourselves become our best selves, and what pride we have in doing so. When you look in the mirror, you like what you see. You're proud of he or she. You feel good about him or her. You feel so strongly that she or he or he or she can do anything. And that's how a great mom and a great dad, how come so many so many few, but there are always some from the terrible ghettos. The kids turn out to be beautiful. They go on to school, they work themselves through college, to have a beautiful life instead of the horrible life of drugs and all the things that go on. It's all a matter of your strength of leadership and your inner strength as a human being. Well said, Joel. Like what you say, like what you think, like who you are. Very, very much. Congratulations on leading this week. Dorota, I want you to be prepared. I'm going to call on you, but just in a few moments. Ruth, I'm going to talk to you and ask you to share your thoughts. Can you hear me, Ruthie? Ruthie?
I'm here.
Where are you? Oh, there you are. I'm looking all over this.
Oh, you're cutting out, Jerry.
Oh, where's my money? Can you hear me?
Jerry's fine. It's you, Ruthie.
Hello?
Okay. Ruth, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine, Ruth. I'll tell you what. Sing abba-dabba-dabba-dabba-da, and see if you can sing that, and then I'll... No, I'm kidding. I hear you fine. Ruth, you're such a pride. You're such a pro. You're such a professional. You're such a wonderful human being. You give, and you give, and you give, and that's why you are such a wonderful person, because you give of yourself. Nothing greater than having gratitude and appreciation and wanting to share that with others. And that's what the person you are. I'm going to read something to you that was highlighted in the newsletter, Ruth. I just like your comment. It says this: when you use your courage to control your thinking, you will then control all aspects of your life, your health, happiness, success, lifestyle, and your gratefulness. Would you like to comment on that, those few sentences, Ruth?
Well, I think it's just amazing when you can have, first of all, a purpose. And I'm coming to our company to talk about purpose, because I have a book that I've referred to several times that I have to pick it off the shelf and tell you who the author is, but I think you've referenced it back once, and it's called A Noble Purpose. And I read that book before I joined this company, and I think this company epitomizes everything that's written in that book, or we strive to. And when you have a purpose, it's like Joel was talking about, you know, these nurses that are stressing themselves out to achieve something greater. That's, you know, the grit that we talk about with Angela Duckworth. That's, you know, first you get this goal, and then you get this, and then this goal becomes so important to you that it is an obsession. It's a magnificent obsession. There's another CD about that. And that obsession helps you to try to manage all the millions of things that might come in your way that would try to stop you from your progress, and you just don't allow it. It's something that has to be, and if it has to be, you say, well, it's up to me. And so when you start with this company and you realize this is pretty important what we do for people, and the longer you're here, the more important that understanding becomes, because people that are self-employed, when something happens to them, they can lose everything they own, and that's not fair, and it's not safe, and we're there to scoop those people up and give them a safe haven when very little other directions are what they can take. And I'm so happy to be there for that, and that's why it makes a whole lot of sense every day, each and every day, when you have a brand new shiny day, you have 8 hours in front of you, to take a step and go in that direction. Gonzo says, you know, get out in the car and go, and that's the first step. And the second step is to open the door and walk to see somebody and speak to them. And if you get no, and you get no, and you get no, you just keep going, because I know that because this company's been around for 50 years and they tell everybody, all you got to do is talk to enough people and you're going to have success. Because we'll teach you and we'll train you, and we'll walk with you, and beside you, and in front of you, and behind you. And that's what leadership is all about. And so when you find the goal and the purpose, then everything you do is to that end. And if you don't feel like it, oh, well, you just do it anyway, and you'll start to feel like it just because it is your passion and it is your obsession and it is what you know that you want to do. And so sometimes our other self talks to us and tries to make us lazy and not do those things. What we have to do is just persevere and go through that regardless of what, because if you talk to any of the people that are out there in the medium to high risk, whether it's a welder or a mechanic or a construction guy, he wants to get back to his work because his work is important because it's making him money and he has a focus on it. It's okay that we interrupt him and be efficient with that time and not waste it, but it's the focus that they have that is also the focus that we have. And so when sometimes people say, oh, you know what, I'm, you know, really busy, and they put you off two or three times and don't really respect your time, it's kind of nice to sometimes, in a kind way, mention that you're very busy as well, and that you have things to do, so that they can look at you in a different light. That you're also somebody with time that is important. But that time is important, and if it goes away and you do nothing with it and squander it, well, for goodness sake, regroup and pick up and start again. And that's the important thing, is that you always and always and always do that, and it gets, you go into greener pastures, you go into more fertile fields, you find that life is just better because you did, and then you want to be able to share that opportunity with other people. So I'm going to pass that back to you, I think.
Thank you, Ruth, and you really hit the nail on the head about the value of what we do, and I won't go into detail, I'll just say this. In that hour to an hour and a half, you can change that person's life dramatically, ad infinitum, forever. Because we're the only, that I know of, only company that says, if your doctor says you're okay, you can get into this, you're approved, the date of your approval, Ruth, is what? 12 noon, the day they applied, which means what, Ruth? Ruth? Oh, Ruthie. It means, think of it, it means you're covered at 12 noon at the day they applied. If your doctor said they could have qualified, God forbid you, something happened. And in the 53 years that I've been in Canada, working with this program, fell in love with the country and fell in love with the concept and had the opportunity and the pleasure of developing it, I knew that we'd have people that night at 7 o'clock or 3 o'clock that afternoon or 5 o'clock at, something happened, they're driving home, they hit black ice, we had it all across Canada, and the ink wasn't even dry, and they were covered under this program, and many of them sometimes were very seriously disabled, and without this income coming in, they would have been in very serious financial trouble. The family would have collapsed financially. Well said, Ruth. Very much appreciated. I'm going to have Christian, senior partner. Christian, are you on the call?
Maybe. I'm here, Jack.
Okay. Christian, I'm so proud of everything you stand for and what you've done. You got on a plane last week, you flew out, you worked with Gonzo, you worked with, Eileen, you really care. I think it was last week, wasn't it? Yes, it was last week. Got on a plane and helped these people because you lead by example, and this is the leadership call. You care deeply, you've been extremely successful, you are a senior partner, which means you are an equity owner. I'm going to read something to you, Christian. Just give me your thoughts. It says this. Most of us know the great secret that Earl Nightingale said in his exceptional recording, The Strangest Secret. The concept was, we become what we think about. We each will become what we think about, and that is why most life coaches and personal achievement authors like Robin Sharma, Napoleon Hill, Robin Tracy, Tony Robbins, Clement Stone, Oprah Winfrey, Bill Yu, as well as many, many others, including autobiographies, share the same or similar wisdom. We become what we think about. your reaction to that incredibly powerful concept that goes back to the ancient Rome, the ancient philosophers. Why is that so incredibly important to you and to the people we work with and to people in general? Your thoughts, senior partner Christian.
Well, Jerry, for me, it comes down to the simple fact that nothing in life is good or bad. Thinking makes it so. We live in a world where, you know, there's tons of good and there's lots of terrible things that exist. And what we look for, we find. And what we look for shapes our reality, the world that we get to live in. If we believe that people are good, kind, then we find good and kind people. We find unkind people. We find rude people. But what we choose to think about is going to shape our world. So when I leave the interaction with the person who was kind and generous and thoughtful and appreciative, I'm going to think about that person. I'm going to reflect back on that. I'm going to, you know, choose to remember that event. The person who was nasty, who was unkind, as soon as I've passed that, I forget about it. And so what is my world made out of? When I think back over my life, I think back over my life and I see kind, generous, great people. The reality may be different, but the world that I live in, the world that I choose to think about more often, is one that creates more happiness and more peace in my life. And because of that, I can show up in someone's life lighthearted, with enthusiasm, with kindness, because that's what my world is made of, and that's what I choose to propagate to the people around me. And if I think in terms of opportunity and abundance and prosperity, then what do I find? I find opportunities that will help me live a more prosperous life. I will acquire more abundance. And the same thing goes if we feel and think in terms of scarcity and lack of resources and negativity, then that's exactly what we're going to find. And it's going to perpetuate that through our lives. And so this is why they say it's the quote-unquote big secret, is that both can be true. Why choose a path that is going to lead to a life that is not as meaningful to you, that isn't fulfilling, that doesn't check the boxes that are important to you and your family and your life and your values? Because the world is big and wide and you can get it all, but what kind of all do you really want? And that's what's your choice, is how you choose to think about the way and the challenges that you face and the opportunities that you take and the paths that you choose to walk. Those are all your choices. And as they happen, things will happen. But what you do next in terms of your thoughts that lead to your next actions are going to slowly but surely make your life. We don't make choices. Choices make us. So those are my thoughts, Jerry. I'll put it back to you.
Well said. You know, this is profound. What we're talking about is understanding ourselves and why we do what we do and why we don't do what we do and why we should do what we need to do when it needs to be done, but we don't. And those that do become their personal excellence and achieve greatness in their lives and personal happiness. And those that choose to find other ways to not do what needs to be done because they're fearful, they're afraid. What if I fail? Then they just crumble. Well said, brilliantly said, because success and happiness, prosperity, and includes good health and includes all the good things that we choose to live with our lives, because we're here for a very short time. If we're lucky, 92, 95 years, if we're lucky. And what did we do and what did we accomplish and what is our legacy? What is it going to live for our children, our children's children, and those that loved us and those that cared about us and those that we worked with? All a matter of how you understand the simplicity, not the complexity. It really makes a lot of sense. I'm going to have Jack. Jack, we're so proud of what you've accomplished. Jack, can you hear me, my friend? Jack?
Yes, I just had to, I'm driving, Jerry. I had to get to...
Okay. You want to pull over or you want to drive and concentrate and talk at the same time, Jack?
Concentrate and drive. I'm on the highway. I can't really pull over here.
Okay. Jack, I'm going to read something to you. And it says this. It's a little bit of what Christian was talking about, but take it to a different level. It says, most of the Greek and Roman Stoic philosophers said the same thing. Our lives are what we make of them through our habitual way of thinking. Our lives are what we make of it through our habitual way of thinking. Napoleon Hill, we all know that name. We've all read his book, hopefully if you haven't, you should read it, whose writings are still considered some of the best in teaching personal success through the discipline of courage and self-control, said this: whatever your mind can't conceive and you believe, you can achieve. You see, every achiever, Jack, in almost every aspect of life, comes to this life-altering realization that we all do become what we think about. Jack, your reaction to those thoughts, and you're such a talented young man, you've stepped out so far, and you're now very, very involved in our leadership program. Jack.
But there's a lot that I could talk about, but I'll try and just narrow down to a couple of key points. First off, I want to agree with a lot of what Christian said there, where what you notice is often a result of how you think. You can notice the sunshine, you can notice the rain, and if you only think about one as your reality, the other one doesn't retain in your memory, and it doesn't become part of your identity. But on top of that, it's also how you think about things is also how you interpret different situations. Nothing is good or bad. Your thinking makes it so. So you can have someone who, you know, might not treat you the way you want to, and there's the negative mindset where people are cruel. People want ill of other people. Or there's the thinking that, you know, for the most part, people are very good people, and when someone treats you in a negative way, then maybe they have some mental health or some stresses in their own life, difficulties that they're facing, that led to them treating you in a way that isn't in line with who they really are, but who they are in the moment. And identifying that helps you maintain a level state of mind. But going back to how your thinking essentially is manifest destiny to who you become, how you see yourself will be the biggest factor. If you see yourself as someone that can uplift others, someone who could be successful, or someone that can bear the weight of challenges that life throws at you, well, then you can. You can find solutions. You find opportunities to grow and to improve yourself, to take on more. If you see yourself and your identity is based on being like a self-image of being lazy, unsuccessful, or you know, scared of challenge, you will self-sabotage when opportunities come into your life that would otherwise allow you to prove that belief wrong. So reflecting on each moment and deciding to take choices that, or take action that are in line with choices that lead you towards growth, then in turn start building a positive feedback loop where you become someone who knows that you are capable of handling adversities, dealing with negative situations, and pushing yourself to achieve more on a consistent basis. That simple process of accepting responsibility for your own success in an optimistic way is absolutely life-changing, because then you begin to desire to test your limits instead of fearing what your limits are. If you push your limits once, a negative mindset may say, well, this is all I can ever do and it's scary. Where a positive person could say, this is all I can do right now, how exciting, how do I do more? That difference in thinking, that difference in personal belief and credibility, and the acceptance of humility to know that you want to be able to grow, and in order for that to happen, you have to have faults, is where positive thinking comes from. And in turn, that positive thinking leads to positive growth. I'll throw it back to you, Jerry.
Well said, Jack. You know, you introduced this 2 or 3 years ago to the meditations of Marcus Aurelius. And it was so amazing. As you know, he's one of the top 5 Roman emperors. And his thoughts that he wrote to himself that survived 2,000 plus years is like listening to someone talking to you, or like Joel was talking about listening to those nurses that he was talking, friends that were over, I assume, for coffee, tea, or dinner. And just, it's amazing what he, the conversation. So we've never changed. We are Homo sapiens, and we are in this earth to be the best we can possibly be at everything we do. That is the magic. That is really what it is. It's not just to survive. Animals, and we're all part of the animal kingdom. We just happen to be the Homo sapiens. They just survive one day at a time. They don't know about tomorrow, and they can't remember too much about yesterday. We are blessed with the uniqueness of our brain to do some amazing things if we just take control of it. It's really that incredibly simple. And I'm going to have Sylvia, who's a senior partner and is really striving to help so many people become successful. She cares deeply about other people, and she's reached out, and she's a real professional. She worked with the top life coaches. That's the right word, and you worked with him for a number of years. So, Sylvia, as a senior partner, I'm going to read something, and I'd just like you to just share your thoughts. It says this, Sylvia. Unless we each take control over our thoughts, which we create, all of our actions, we live out our lives in quiet desperation. That was written by Benjamin Disraeli twice, the Prime Minister of England. Theodore Roosevelt said, and he was one of the most loved presidents, and there aren't too many, they'll have 20 years that are left. Theodore Roosevelt, one of the most loved U.S. presidents, who ran for president, although he was wearing braces and barely able to walk because he was crippled from polio, said over and over and over again, you have nothing to fear except fear itself. Give me your reaction to what you think he means and meant then and means today. We have nothing to fear except fear itself. Sylvia.
Well, I think that we all get thoughts that come into our minds that can cause us to go into fear. But when you really think about it, when you're in fear, you're really thinking in the future. You're not in the present moment. Because you've gone ahead and assumed something bad is going to happen to you. Taking control over our thoughts helps us to avoid that fear. That we don't allow any negative thought to hang out in our conscious mind for any length of time. So, for example, you're out working and you see an opportunity where you could potentially do a presentation and maybe to two or three people because there's a job site and there's three or four guys hanging around talking or they're all working. And if you allow your fearful thoughts of, oh, those guys might laugh at me. Yeah, I'm out, you know, going cold calling on people, selling insurance. You've already assumed, you've kind of gone through the little movie in your mind that you've seen yourself going up to them and them laughing at you and you walking away feeling like you're less than anybody else. And when you take action and you control your thoughts and you say, no, there's an opportunity here, maybe. We never really know. As John O'Keefe says, you don't know until you go. And so if you ignore that thought and say, no, I'm going to go say hi to these people and introduce myself and see if there is an opportunity. When you change that, take that control, and then you walk up to those people, then you find out what really is going to happen. And often, because you've stepped out of your comfort zone, because you've stepped forward in faith instead of step back into safety in fear, you may have an opportunity where you may not get a presentation, but it's like one guy says, yeah, no, my wife and I have been talking about this. Give me a card and I'll give you my number. Let's hook up, let's get together. You can come and meet with me and my wife. There's an opportunity. Or, heavens forbid, you could present to three people at one time and sell all three people at one time. Now there's a novel thought. So if you held that thought in mind while you're out working, that opportunity is everywhere, and I'm not going to be afraid of any situation or any one person or any group of people, and you take that control, the fear doesn't come up the same. It doesn't show up the same. But if you allow it to take space in your conscious mind, and you get worried about all these things that might happen, fear is false evidence appearing real. The majority of the time when we worry about something, you know, maybe you've got a bill you're really late on and you know, you're waiting for your next pay to come through so you can take care of it and then all of a sudden you become afraid to answer the phone because somebody's out to get you. And in reality, you know, maybe the next day, or today's Monday, come on tonight, you know, your pay comes in, you get that paid, and maybe the person, you go to pay them and you say, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm late. And they're like, oh, I didn't even notice. And so you allowed yourself to fret and worry over nonsense that's not going to happen. So the most important thing is that control that you take, that because we do have the ability. And sometimes when you're not feeling so good, it's a little bit more difficult. But when a thought comes into your mind, into your conscious mind, you have the ability to accept it and get involved in it and give it energy and go with it. Or you also have the ability to kick it out and allow another thought to come in and reaching for a better thought. You're always wanting to be reaching for a better thought, but if you're feeling low and you can't go quite as positive as somebody that's making it happen right now, you just reach for a little bit better thought. And when you get there, you think of a little bit better thought. Because the more you hold yourself in a place of feeling good, expecting great things to happen for yourself, you feel better physically, mentally, and your results are better. So it is us controlling our thoughts and not allowing any kind of fear or negativity to take up too much space in this between our ears here and cause us to act not with confidence, act not with positivity, but to shrink into smallness. When you're really stretching and going big, Bob Proctor used to call it the terror barrier. That we take baby steps and we start going outside our comfort zone, but then we get to a point where it's really, this is a tough one. Well, you either, again, you step forward into growth or you step back into safety. And the more you take that, build the habit of stepping back into safety and away from pushing through, and then really stretching your comfort zone, that too becomes a habit. And it becomes a habit that you're going to want to break when you do find the goal that's big enough that's going to fuel you to push through anything, regardless of what anybody else says, does, or thinks. Back to you, Jerry.
That's what excellence is all about. You're absolutely spot on. You're 100% right. That fear barrier, that invisible, you called it brilliantly when you used the acronym, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. You're spot on, and that stops so many people from being their best selves, from having a beautiful life, from having a good marriage, from having a great relationship, from raising wonderful children. They're afraid. What are they afraid of? They don't know. You used an example of paranoia. So many people are paranoid, and they don't know why. They just are. It's just part of their nomenclature because they've allowed all these things to happen instead of taking control of their lives. And we are so blessed with the opportunity to read great authors, to associate with marvelous people who understand what we're talking about. And not only that, but be able to provide incredible services to people and earn a marvelous living and build a great legacy. That's why we just all came together for a purpose, which was brilliantly said. I believe Ruth brought it up earlier today. I'm going to have our senior partner, John O'Keefe, over 30 years. Good to see you, John. I'm wanting to have you share your thoughts, my friend. Can you hear me?
I hear you, Jerry.
All right, very good. It says this, John. Numerous universities, including a 9-year study from London University College, show that the biggest reason that many do not accomplish their dreams, their goals, their visions, and their aspirations is their fear. What if I fail? What if I fall on my patootski? What if I fail? Fear of failure stops many from starting and keeps most from accomplishing. Many who do begin to habitually give up when the going gets tough. The saying many of us have known since we were children, and it's still accurate, and it's very inspiring. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Because as so many great leaders have said, in sports, politics, business, religion, your mental toughness is essential to your success. Your reaction to those words, being your partner, extremely successful in life as well as in business, General Keith.
Well, you're so right. Mental toughness is so critical in developing mental toughness. But I think one of the cures to working with yourself, overcoming fears, is by making a commitment that you will promise to yourself and your family to do what you need to do to be successful. And when you make that commitment, and especially in our business, when you make that commitment, that promise, then the second step is taking action. Action, activity overcomes fear. Because fear makes cowards of us all. But if you're engaging in an activity like managing yourself, developing positive attitude, habits, reading daily, exercising, again, having when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I had that in my car for years, a little sticker on my visor, because it's true. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When you make that commitment to be tough, to get out, to open that door, to get out and make those calls. And one of the biggest things I found was, again, keeping good records, because when you keep good records and you know your worth, you know how much you're worth every presentation, then you focus on doing the approaches, doing 20 approaches a day. When you know, if you know that you're worth $20 an approach, and you do 20 presentations a day, well, that's $400 a day earnings.
You mean 20 approaches? You mean 20?
That's right. 20 approaches. That's right. And if you keep track of those, how many approaches you're making, and you focus on the activity, focus on the energy, and just focus on having discipline and a strong work ethic, then when you push away from the table, and you manage your time properly, and you just focus on putting the effort in, then the effort pays off. Activity always pays off. And by keeping good records, using your success card, and all the ladies around, they call it ticks, when we put a little mark on our success card for every approach that we make, then all of a sudden those marks, that activity turns into presentations, and when we focus on doing the presentation, make each presentation 100%, then all of a sudden that activity turns into assuming applications. And when you assume those applications, it turns into writing business. And lo and behold, we've overcome our fears, because when the going gets tough, the tough get going, but they manage themselves.
Let me ask you a question, John. We are short on time, but I really... because you've been around 30-plus years, you've built multi-million-dollar operations. Have you found, with the men and women you've worked with, and there are large numbers that have been so successful because of your leadership, that as long as you help people believe in themselves and just try and never give up, just keep trying, that their lives change all for the better in all aspects of their lives, John, or is it just in the business aspect of their life?
Well, I think it goes... When you make that commitment to overcome, to be successful, that irrevocable promise to yourself and your family, well, then what happens is everything else falls into place. You develop a strong work ethic. You start having success. The pressure is taken off you. And part of that is associating with the right kind of people, reading the best books you can, always be working on yourself. Well, you can't help but get better when you work on yourself.
So that's what happens. Because what you're really doing is working on yourself. Not just your business profession, but yourself. And you can't wear 46 hats. You are what you are. And that's a doggone good human being who's a caring, loving human being that cares about others, cares about him or herself, cares about loving people, the family, the children, the grandchildren, the spouse, a significant other. That is what we do. Try to be our best selves, and in the way that we become accomplished, not only being our best selves, but in the business world. It's a win-win situation. Thank you, John. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm running short on time, and I do want to hear from Jody out on the West Coast. Jody, can you hear me, my friend?
Good morning, Jerry. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you also, Jody. You know, we're so proud of you. You get up before the crack of dawn to be on these calls. We've got this 3 hours earlier. And you're just such a pro, and you care so deeply about other people, and you've been so successful, and you keep trying. Jody, I'm going to read something. Give me your thoughts on it, please. It says this. In fact, it says it in the newsletter. We could go on about how each and every one of us is quite capable of controlling our thinking, which in turn controls all of our actions. However, this is our personal choice. It's our personal choice to how we each decide to live every day with vision, passion, commitment, determination, and self-control, or que sera, sera. Or que sera, sera. For those of you that speak Italian, that means whatever will be, will be. Your reaction, your thoughts, Jody, Jody, Jody.
Well, fantastic call so far, and thanks everybody for your contribution and thoughts and wisdom and your leadership. And I guess there's also another saying that the cup is half empty or the cup is half full. And how you choose to embrace your day each and every day is totally up to you, whether you get up at 4:30 or 4 o'clock or you stay lazy in bed. And I don't like laziness. I think it's just a terrible attribute that people have, and they become complacent and mediocre, and you know, there's always excuses of why you can't do something. But there's also an ability to say that I can, and I choose the latter, that I can. It's not always pretty, and it's not always easy, and it's not always nice, but it's a way of choice for me. And recently, and thank you, Elda, I don't know if you're on the call or if you ever get on these calls or not, but I got a list of all of my clients for my past 5 years, or soon to be 6, give and take. And I was moved, touched, and inspired by the memory of being in front of each and every one of my clients. Whether they stayed on the books or they didn't, that was the real reality of seeing each and every one of my clients, no matter where they were, in Ontario or BC. And, you know, I spent 8 hours yesterday putting together a list of people that I wanted to call back and those that could get say a 290 or sickness, or even those that were at a level of business and I could increase them. And I actually was so moved by them, and also moved by my lack of ability to be on top of all of my clients. So for those that are new, I would suggest that you get good records, as John says. Know your clients, know who they are, keep track of them, and because in the end, they're my fortune, they're my income, and I owe them the respect to stay on top of them. And it's a whole different mindset of what I can do for my clients moving forward. And I'm so appreciative, because there's changes and changes and changes that come each and every day, and there's changes that are going to come in our company soon. And I'm just excited for those changes. I'm also elated that, you know, I've got clients that are going to support me and my income. And I'm so proud that we have a great, great program, and in the future, even a better one to move forward. So, yeah, you're going to move me to tears at such an early stage in my morning, but I'm thankful, and I just wanted to share that with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Jody. I appreciate your thoughts. You're a caring, loving human being that really wants to do well to, for, and by, and with people. And being of service to others, and being of extraordinary service, you really help them, and in turn, help yourself. It's a win-win proposition. There's no question about it. And you certainly have done that and continue to do that. I'm going to go to Dorota, who was number 2 this week. Dorota's a new member of our team. Dorota, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Dorota, we're very proud of you. Over $4,000 in business, and you're just a new member of the team. And we're proud of you. I'm going to read something, Dorota, and I just like your thoughts and what you feel about these words that I share. It says this in the newsletter. Ben Franklin spoke of failure that still makes everyone smile when they hear it. He says, I didn't fail. I just learned 10,000 ways how to make a light bulb, how not to make a light bulb. Well, everybody smiles because we know what he meant by that. 10,000 ways how not to make a light bulb, but he found how to make a light bulb. Dorota says, there are many powerful life lessons from the way he expressed his thoughts about failure. The most valuable lesson to always remember every day, all day, is because it is the wisest and surest way to think about and how to react to your fears. And it's this, Dorota, and I like your thoughts on it. Your courage is never the absence of your fear. Your courage is simply your actions in spite of your fears. Your thoughts on those thoughts. New member of our team, and we're proud of you. Dorota.
Good morning. I apologize for being tardy, Jerry.
No apologies necessary. No apologies necessary. Go ahead.
To me, here is there was a really good example of the book that I wrote. I can't remember the name of the book at this moment, but I believe it was Success Principle by Jack Canfield. Anyway, he was saying that if you put a man that is completely under influence in a dark room and trying to help him throw darts, he will throw the darts, and then the law of probability says that, eventually he will hit that dart, and he will hit those the center that he's trying to aim. But if you put someone, and making this story short, when you put someone who's sober, educated, in a nicely light room, with the proper darts, the chances of them hitting bullseye are 1 to 10 or more. What I was trying to say by that is my chances by making approaches every single day and going to work are based on my teachers, Ruth and John, and I wouldn't be able to do that without them, because they're my proof failure proof. They're helping me with every time I have a problem. They're there, and I think that it doesn't matter what happens in life. We all have stories, but those stories make us stronger. And all the things that I failed at Landmark, now I'm starting to love, and I'm not scared anymore. And I truly, truly love my job, and I love the people that I meet. I wouldn't be able to do that without Ruth and John, and everybody, of course, else helps. But I see them on a regular basis. So I think that, whatever happens to your life, you just have to keep going and never ever give up, because that's what creates you, what makes you, and what makes you strong. And I will get back on that to you, Jerry, because I'm sorry.
Thank you, Dan, and thank you for your thoughts. I know it's not easy when you have so many people that you're sharing your thoughts are, but it comes from the heart, and that's all that's necessary. Because you believe in yourself and you believe in your why, which is Simon Sinek, the great professor who shares on TED Talks. Your why is your purpose. What is your purpose? Why are we here, and what are we going to do with it? And if you know your purpose, if you separate yourself from so many people that just live day to day and can't figure out who's on first and what's on second. Well said. We're proud of you, and just stay strong, stay focused, and we'll help you every inch of the way for you to accomplish your dreams, goals, and aspirations. I'm going to have Amy share her thoughts. Amy, can you hear me, please?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Amy. You're such a positive professional. You care deeply. You have so many responsibilities, and you continue to thrive and try. Amy, I'm going to read something to you, and I'd like your thoughts. It says this. Your courage, Amy, to keep on trying and refusing to quit, said Elon Musk, when all odds are against you, after rocket number 3 blew up and his car company was out of money, he was 3 days from shutting down Tesla, the 4th rocket launched, and he won the shuttle contest and the $1.5 billion from NASA. That was what his words that came, and I think many of you listened to that podcast when 60 Minutes interviewed him, and he said, my only strength is I never, never quit. And he teared up when he said that. Your thought on those thoughts, Amy?
Yes.
One comment I have, and I believe it of myself, and it says any successful person out there in whatever industry they're in, you know, you fail your way to success. You try, you fail, you try again, you fail, then you succeed, and then you succeed again, and then you try and you fail, but you fail your way to success. And, you know, I don't view failure as something that's going to hinder me. Failing is failing at something, like failing at the, if I go off track, or if I should have, you know, provide a different emotional story, I think about it, and I think, how can I be better? And failing is an opportunity to learn. So, you know, embrace failure. Don't try to fail. Try to do your very best, of course, because doing your very best in this career is, well, first of all, it's your fiduciary responsibility. I truly believe that. This is the career that I have chosen, and everyone on this call, they've chosen to either learn this career or they're doing this career. And everyone on this call has failed at something many times. And failing is an opportunity to learn, and it's an opportunity to grow. But so don't be afraid of failure, because it comes with the territory of working with people. But, you know, this is such a phenomenal career because it's so meaningful. And, you know, the clients that we serve, the medium to high risk, one slip off a ladder, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but that could break a foot in such a way that has to be rebroken again. And there's so many bones in a foot, they could be disabled for years. And it's one little slip. Or, I met a roofer who had 5 children at home, and he took a few moments with me because he's waiting for his shingles to be delivered. And he didn't qualify because he was actually disabled. He was just back to work. And I said, what happened? Oh, he broke his leg. Well, how did that happen? Well, I was up on the roof and a bricklayer moved my ladder. And I came down and I slipped and I fell and I broke my leg. And this was just last year. He was off for a very long time and just recovering. So he didn't qualify for anything. And I said, what did you do? And he said, well, I sat home and I cried and I saw my truck get repossessed. And we had to go on welfare and we had no food and we had to rely on neighbors to feed us. So, you know, thank goodness that his children weren't taken away and put into foster care or separated all across the country with family, because that is the reality. And when you have a hardworking trades professional, you know, in high risk, game at high risk, one slip puts their whole family in jeopardy. Eviction, no food in the fridge. When the children go and see the hospital, the provider, he'll turn away. He'll be embarrassed because he knows they're already paycheck to paycheck in most of these cases. So, you know, this is the most noble service, and it's extremely meaningful. And, you know, so what if we fail? It's an opportunity to learn. So I will pass it back to you.
Well said. You speak from the heart because you care. People who care, care. That means they really want to do the right thing to be of service to other people, regardless of what the service is. And there are people that don't care, and that's because they're, and it's not a negative, it's just what they are, because they're so self-centered in the sense that they're trying just desperately find where they fit in and how they can fit in and what's wrong with me. And they're absolutely looking at it wrongly. And nothing's wrong. You're fine. You're perfectly fine. Maybe you could lose a few pounds or gain a few pounds, but you can't wish yourself you were taller, because that's not going to change anything else except who you are and what you are, that you are a caring man or woman that has integrity, principle, and honor and respect. That'll take you any place if you add to that a great work ethic and you don't give up. And I'm going to have Fred Flaxman. Fred, are you on the call, my friend? Yes, you are. I see you.
Hi. Yeah, I'm right here, Jerry.
Okay, Fred, I'm pretty much out of time, but I need your wisdom on this. It says this. During this very special season, it is a very special season, our thoughts are mostly about our love of family and friends. We each have so much to be grateful for. We each feel the joy and the appreciation we have for so many of our blessings. We each have found or are wisely striving for our inner strength. We each have found or we're still striving for our inner strength. This is all because we all understand the positive, life-changing impact of being our best selves, of being our best selves. It says this, Greg, they're so valuable. This is so valuable, this understanding of being our best self, because each of us displays through our attitudes and our efforts, our words and deeds, our courage to become healthier, happier, and very successful, while living or planning on living the lifestyle of our visions, our being so grateful for having the courage and the knowledge and the opportunities to make our lives and our loved ones' lives and the lives of those who follow us truly wonderful by the examples that we set. Your reaction to those words, Mr. Fred Flaxman, after 34 years we've been together. Fred.
Oh, so much comes to mind. I'm going to keep it as short as I can. I think that being your best self comes all down to focus. What are you focusing on? You know, we talk all the time about habits and about goals. You know, personal goals should not be about things you want. And this is the time of season that people think about what they want, but rather about who you want to become. Things are just byproducts of who you are. So if your focus is on wanting to become the best you want to be, you have to change. You have to change the habits in order to create that individual that will be their best self. The problem is that most people fear change. They embrace the status quo, as Amy talked about, embracing failure, or they embrace the status quo. To become the person you always want to become means that you have to embrace that change, because you have to change every single day. Change is inevitable. Don't embrace the status quo. The status quo is what's keeping you where you are. I can go on for a long time. I know, Jerry, it's short on time. I'll kick it back to you.
You're muted, Jerry.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I just told Fred he was not as good looking as he thought he was, but because he's been around so long, he's gotten better looking. But I said that when I was muted, so he didn't hear it. But Fred, what I'm sharing with you in all fairness and in all sincerity is, after all these years, you've grown to become a tremendous leader of people. You care deeply about helping others, and therefore you always help yourself. You've made so many people successful, and you continue to introduce men and women into this business opportunity who want something more in life than bread and circuses. And I'm going to have our senior partner, Adam, instead of giving... Adam, are you there, my friend?
Indeed, Jerry, yes, I am.
Okay, indeed. I love the word indeed. I'm going to read something, Adam, and I'd like you to give a summation. I know we're out of time, but I need your 2 minutes or 3 minutes on this summation. It says, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, examples we can each can and seriously should set for ourselves, our loved ones, and those who choose to follow us, is that we will always do what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, regardless of how we feel about it. Adam, it goes on to say that it is my being positive at all times, no matter the mood I may be in. It is understanding that as I do, so does everyone who loves me also do, including my friends and those who choose to follow me also, because they see me doing it. What I am, Adam, and what I do is to set an example in everything I say and I do. This is not whether I have or have not a title. Makes no difference. This is what I stand for, live my life by, and that I continue to become. This is all paraphrased from the great book by a good friend of ours, Robin Sharma. It's called The Leader Who Had No Title. Your reaction to those words, senior partner, number of years now, it's 13, 14 years, I forget, Adam. Adam Rick, your thoughts.
Thanks, Jerry. I think, you know, a lot of what you just said there can be summed up by what DeRota said a few moments ago, okay? You know, we are engaged in a venture that is worthwhile becoming. It's worthwhile becoming the product of what this endeavor creates within you. We am, you continue to say I am, and I am is the product of our daily behaviors. So if we take from this call, you know, what one person has said about what those behaviors do, take what John has said about taking action eventually creates you. It creates that version of you that is our best self. I've said it in the past. If you tell me one really, really funny joke, that was hilarious. If you string together 5 or 8 of them in a row, the joke no longer gets the accolade, but you become funny. You are funny. And that process of becoming, being, I am a professional. I am, you know, have professional self-respect. I am engaged. I am taking action. I am who I say I am. That process is simply the unarguable, unequivocal series habit of taking action again and again and again and becoming great. And that process of greatness is a worthwhile endeavor, I guarantee it. So those are what I heard. Back to you, Jerry.
Well said, Adam. We appreciate you so much. And is it 13 or 14 years, Adam? Forgive me. I can't remember.
But January, I'll be starting my 14th year.
Oh, that was pretty good. I was only 4 weeks off. Not too bad for an old guy. So I may have 30. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an exceptional meeting. Your thoughts were wise, from the heart, meaningful, profound. All of you are doing, most of you are doing extremely well. Those of you that are struggling a bit, you're not struggling with the business. You're just struggling with some minor issues that we can help you break through. This is a business that allows people to grow to their greatest potential, to do marvelous things with their lives. From stopping smoking, Ruth, I'm talking about you, it just popped into my head. From stopping smoking to lifting to a higher level, getting healthier, eating wiser, exercising, being a better dad, being a better mom, being a better husband, being a better wife, being a better significant other. All of these things help each and every one of us as we strive to be the best we can possibly be. And that's because we put ourselves in a position where we have to accept rejection but not take it personally. Not everybody believes something's going to happen to them. Not everybody believes it's going to happen until it does. And then it's too late. As Amy just said, family's on welfare. And that's as real. This is as real can be. So ladies and gentlemen, be of service. Care deeply about yourself, your family, your loved ones, and the people you're doing business to, with, and for. Have a beautiful day. Try to get in your 5 presentations. Whether you write all 5 or you don't write any, it doesn't make a bit of difference. You shared the message that we can do this for them, and we've been doing it now for 50 wonderful, amazing years. Take care. Love your families. We'll see you all on Wednesday in the call. Take care, and bye for now.
Goodbye.